The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Yeah, fellas, so much. I appreciate that. I have had the privilege to know the Buchanans for a long time. We go back, I guess, about 25 plus years. And what a blessing it is to have him as our speaker tonight. There is not a preacher, honestly, a pastor in America, that I have not asked advice from more than he. Whenever I've had to make a major decision in the ministry, I've called him up and said, kind of give me some advice on this, and what do you think, and maybe which direction should I go? And he has always been very kind to me, both he and his wife. She did a marvelous job speaking at our ladies' conference, and the ladies just really enjoyed not just hearing her, but getting to know her as an individual, and has been a great tool even to this day in our ladies' lives. And I appreciate Mrs. Buchanan also. Mrs. Buchanan, would you stand for just a moment? Let's give her a round of applause also tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Brother Buchanan has been preaching the gospel for over 50 years. He's been a pastor for 45 years, 35 years plus there at the Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's not just been a local pastor of a church, but he has pastored pastors. I don't know any of the pastors that I know by name that has not at one time or another been influenced by Dr. Buchanan. He has just been a tremendous help to preachers around America, and I appreciate that as an individual, and also many preachers around America appreciates that as well. We'll hear him gladly tonight. Let's all stand, give him a good old-fashioned Texas welcome, please. All right.
Most people clap when I leave, so if you'll just listen for a minute. I want to thank your preacher and the church for the good place we have to stay. It's wonderful and a lot of good things in the room. A real good bottle of aged wine. Nothing new. Seriously, there was no wine, but everything was good in the room. And I've known your preacher for a long time, as I said this morning. And when he was in evangelism, he'd come to our church every year, and like he said, just about every year before he'd take off across over to Asia and that part of the country. And I always admired his demeanor, his character, his family. They always came with a wonderful attitude. Now, if you've never traveled, and especially with kiddos, you don't know what I'm talking about. And they'd come and they'd do a wonderful job, always do a good job, always helped our church folks, and always just right on the money. And boy, I'm excited about what's happening around here, folks. Now, this is wonderful. As he said, I preach north, south, east, and west, and in between. And I'm a little concerned lately about some things. Now, I don't get to go to those places because they're not going to ask me. And he is telling you the truth where they're taking the name Baptist off their church. And then the music is absolutely, there's no such thing as Christian rock. There's no such thing. And the music has become really worldly and ungodly. And I'm going to tell you something. I got saved out of listening to that kind of stuff. I mean, it really wasn't that bad what I used to listen to. I mean, Elvis was better than that. Amen. And the country and western songs. One good thing about a country and western song, if you play it backwards, you get your pickup back, you get your dog back, you get all that stuff back, you know. And Now, let me be honest with you, and I don't mean to hurt you. I don't like what's called Southern gospel. I just don't like that. I used to sit in places I'm not going to tell you about and listen to the same music. It's just the words. Now they put some so-called gospel words to it, but I love him and his family. And, boy, I'm excited about what's going on here. And most of you folks, and it's normal, you're very sheltered. You get up, you go to work, you bellyache because it's Monday. You'd bellyache if it was Tuesday. Come on, help me. Seriously, you go to work, you have to work hard. You come home, you eat, you go to bed, you watch the news, you worry. ABC means always been communist. NBC means nothing but communist. CBS means continuing to be communist. Why you listen to those people? Where are they going to church today? And seriously, and then, you know, you're very sheltered. Your preachers travel the country, and God's used him greatly. And I was thrilled when he got to come here to this good church. And you had a good preacher previous. Now you got him, and some good things are going on. And I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. It's always good to have my wife with me. She's a blessing to me, has been for all of these years. Never really bellyached about being a pastor's wife. And unusual thing, and she don't mind me telling you, my wife never met her dad. She doesn't know who he is. Now, that's the kind of situation she came from. Now, she wasn't a streetwalker or anything like that, but it's never mentally got her down. Don't let the world make you mental. You know, we say, people say, well, I didn't have any cookies and milk when I was a little kid. I got a problem. I didn't know what cookies was. I knew what red beans were and fried potatoes. And sometimes some milk, you know. And really, I'm sick and tired of Christians saying, well, I've just got this little problem. We can tell by looking, you're ugly. No, I'm just kidding. That's like a lady went to the doctor and she said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're ugly too. Anyway, she's been a blessing to me, blessing to our family. God's blessed our family. We have 9 grandkids. You can have 8 of them if you want them. We'll give them to you right away. No problem. And always been a help, always been good, always used to go more than I go now. And she took care of things for me, and God's been so good to me, it's unreal. And I'm never going to take it for granted, never going to do that. I just can't do it. Jonathan was out the other day, and is he still up here? Is that you? Okay. Now, he don't want you to know this, but he got pulled over for speeding. And the policeman was about to write the ticket, and Jonathan said to him, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The policeman handed him the ticket and said, go and sin no more. And he was making a special visit for his dad downtown, and he just kept driving around. And so what he did, he parked in a no parking zone. And he was in a hurry, and you know, he's always in a hurry. He's a preacher's kid and got a lot of energy. And because he couldn't find a space with a meter, so he's parked in a red zone. And so he came back, and he put a note under the wiper of his car. He was kind enough to do that. And he said, I've circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive me my trespasses. When he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note. I've circled this block for 10 years. If you don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead me not into temptation. You know how to know if you're a redneck? Salvation Army don't want your mattress. You burn your yard, you don't mow it. If you're a redneck, you think the stock market ought to have a fence around it. And your mom was real thrilled that she gets a box of ammunition for Christmas. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Sure good to be here in this good church and wonderful work today, and because you folks worked hard and your preacher works hard. If you'll stand in honor of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll begin reading verse number 1. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, folks, is he talking to a local church? Yes, he is, isn't he? Okay. He's talking to the church at Corinth, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, but hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For yet carnal, for when there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? For what one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Would you pray with me again? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we've seen tonight. And the Bible says, give honor to whom honor's due. And it was good to honor this couple tonight who've given their lives to the Lord and to these people. And Lord, thank you for the response of the good people here tonight in honoring them. And certainly, Lord, we know they took it in the right spirit and it was given in the right spirit. Now, Lord, again tonight, help me, please, dear Lord, help me not just to do what I know I can do. I've done it for many years. And I don't want to be academic about it or just mechanical. I really want to say something, Lord, from your book that will help people. I thank you for this preacher, his family. What a good family, Lord. What a good vision here at this good place. We need this place so bad, this college and the training and somebody to, Lord, produce some more independent fundamental Baptists with the good old-fashioned stands and the right book and the right music. And I pray you'd protect this place, dear Lord. And, Lord, you can rebuke Satan. You can keep him away from here. And we don't want that for any pride of the flesh. We just want it for your glory. Bless these good people. Lord, we've been here for a while tonight, so help me to be right on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject. And I know you folks, we have the same thing at home. I think we have 5 different churches going on every morning. And people come in. And most times it's those people that have worked hard. And they come in on Sunday night and they really, most time they bring the Spirit on Sunday night because they've been serving the Lord. And they've been doing things for God. And they want something from the Lord. But tonight I'm going to give you, if you don't mind, just a little cornbread, onions, and red beans. How will that be? Amen. Now that may make you want to take an Alka-Seltzer after a while. But I want you to listen tonight. I want to tell you what to bring to church this summer. Okay? What to bring to church this summer. Paul here, you've already seen what he's saying. He's saying there's some things that should not be in church. And if you look again in verse number 2, he said, I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal. For where is there among you envying and strife and division? Are you not carnal and walk as men? For what one saith, I am of Paul, and thus am I of Apollos. Are you not carnal? And so then he says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? Now, folks, it's okay to follow a man, but a man didn't die to save you. A man can't help you except to a point when you have need. And so Paul here, he's looking at this church, and he said, you're carnal, there's envying, there's strife, there's division. And he said, you walk as men. You're walking fleshly as men. Now, and he identifies those sins, and I've read them to you right there. And if you look over just a little bit further in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, right before the Lord's Supper was being taken, Paul also once again named some things that should not be in church. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 18. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now, those things do not belong in church, folks. I know we're human. I know we have problems. But those things do not belong in church. If the average football team played like the average church, they'd lose every game. They would. You don't ever hear a running back say, I just don't think I'm going to run today. Amen. You know, and I mean, they go out there and as a team. Matter of fact, every successful running back, he gives his line credit. He gives those big guys up front credit. Emmitt Smith used to buy them watches and cars and everything like that because they're the ones that open up the hole. They work as a team. You ever notice a flock of geese flying? You ever notice, how many of you folks ever noticed that? How they fly along? Do you know why one line is longer than the other? Because there's more geese in it. Anyway, do you know they so fly that the lead goose, he makes the wind lift up and the under the wings of the next one and the next one and the next one, and that's the way they do it. And you hear them, they sound like they're honking or making a sound. They're encouraging each other on. And they do a lot of work. They get a long way. They work as a team. And a church ought to work as a team. Now, the Bible's very plain. Everybody can't be the head. Everybody can't be the head. Somebody's got to be the foot. Somebody's got to be the hand. Somebody's got to be the eyes. That's what God put us here for. And God put you where he wants you. Don't you be envious of somebody else's position. Let me tell you something, with position comes responsibility. A lot of responsibility. And so Paul here, now he's not doing this to these people because he don't like them. He wants them to operate as a team. He wants them to operate as a body. He goes through all of that. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you what not to bring to church. Then I'm going to tell you what to bring to church, okay? Number one, don't come with preconceived ideals or notion about what the preacher's going to say. Now, I've heard this, folks. I've been doing this, and I've been doing this for a long time, 45 years. Pastoring, and I could tell you some stories about that. And Baptists are Baptists, whether Yankees or Southerners, they're Baptists. I preached up north, and they just asked me to keep talking because most times they have to have an interpreter to understand the Southern language. Anyway, now, I tell you, don't come with preconceived notions what the preacher's going to say. Somebody's going to say, well, he may joke around a little bit. And somebody else says, well, he's going to preach directly to me. I know he's going to preach directly to me. Now, let me say something to you here. It's very practical. When you go hunting, you aim at something to hit. All right? Let me have this one right here, okay? Now, listen to me. Let me tell you how hypocritical we are, okay? Now, let's be honest tonight. How many folks have ever been to the doctor? Raise your hand. Raise your hand good and high. All right, now you go in, and here's what you say to him. Now, doc, I want you to tell me what's wrong with me. Come on. How many folks have said that? Raise your hand. I'm tough. I can take it. And he says, you've got the optolutus or the hoptoloptus. And it's bad. And here's a prescription. And let me tell you what we do. We go out there, and we call somebody on the phone, and we say, I've just been to my doctor, and he is so wonderful. Come on, folks. Help me now. Yeah. Yeah, and we say, you know, he is so wonderful. He told me I got the hoptolutus or the hoptoloptus, and he told me exactly the medicine to take. And then you come to church, and your preacher gets up here, and he gives you spiritual medicine and what to take, and you get mad and you bellyache, and you say, he knows that about me. No, God knows that about you, and God told him to say it. Now, so don't come with preconceived ideas. Listen to me. If you look in the Bible, when Ananias and Sapphira, I thought they were twins for a long time because I didn't know anything about the Bible. When they stood before Peter, now listen real close, folks, you better listen. No one went up to Peter and told them what they had did. But he said, why have you conceived in your heart? Because the Spirit of God told him that, and he looked at them directly. You couldn't have taken Peter's preaching. And matter of fact, let me tell you something, friend. Most of you couldn't take Jesus' preaching. You couldn't take it. The average church wouldn't call him to be the preacher because, buddy, he didn't pull no punches. He looked out at the Pharisees, and that's who you have the problem with most times. And he called them dead men's bones. He told them everything in the world. Hey, Paul even called names. How would you like for your preacher to do that? Huh? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So when you come to church, listen, when you come to church, don't you come with preconceived ideas what your preacher's going to say, what Brother Wells is going to say. Don't you do that. You ought to be glad he's preaching straight to you. Let me tell you something. These lovey-dovey preachers, they don't love people. They just want to get paid. Amen? Number two. Listen, if you are a mature Christian, so-called not baby anymore, don't come with a bad spirit. Well, I'm just having a bad day. Look at me. I don't give a rip. Just because you're having a bad day, I ain't going to have a bad day. Just because your wife don't know how to cook, that ain't going to bother me. Amen. Seriously. Hey, don't come with a bad spirit. Let me tell you something. Don't come with no gripey, foul, ugly, bad mood. Listen to me. Don't do that. Don't bring that to church. Well, you don't know what I've been through this week. Fellow told me, who recently married one of our ladies who pastored for a while, Southern Baptist Church, and come to our church, he said, preacher, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. He came in on a Wednesday morning, okay, He said, now, I know a young preacher, and you know him, and he's just about to mess up his life. And he said, the burden is yours. You've got to help him. How would you like to hear that on Wednesday morning? And then you go to church on Wednesday night and say, how you doing? Boy, good to see you tonight. Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you tonight. And down deep in your heart, it's breaking. Because somebody you love is about to mess up their life. How come it got so quiet there? Well, my boss don't like me. I don't blame him. I wouldn't like you either. And then on Thursday morning, Thursday morning, I always fix the staff at the end of the school year, brisket. And when I moved to Baton Rouge, crazy, crazy Southerners, they thought barbecue was roast with barbecue sauce poured on it. So, man, I started fixing brisket. Matter of fact, I could sell it. They loved it. They never anything like it. Hey, you couldn't even find white gravy when I went there. You think they're not backwards? Brother, up north, you know what white gravy is? All right, he needs to get right with God tonight, walking down the aisle. Now you can find it everywhere. See what I've done for that part of the country? You just don't realize what I've done. So we're going to eat at 11 o'clock. I'm sitting in my office. One of the secretaries above me said, "Preacher, so-and-so's here to see you." Now, this is on Thursday. One of our oldest members comes in, didn't have an appointment, which was fine, came in. He said, "I'm going to leave my wife. Been married for 54 years. How many of you guys that got on silk underwear, you ever heard that on Thursday morning? Huh? Well, I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. Friday morning, I get up. I used to take Friday off and still do if I can now. I don't take Monday. I'd like to go back and worry and see what happened on Sunday, you know, seriously. And on Friday morning, I got up and made me some community coffee. Man, if you don't have any water, you just put it right here, right between your cheek and gut. That's how good it is. And forgive me. Now, I read my Bible, had my prayer time. I like to do it early in the morning because God's not busy. Nobody's bugging him early in the morning. And I like to watch a thing on TV because it's called I Almost Got Away With It, because they never get away with it. And I'm sitting there, and the phone rings at my house, and I have an answer machine. I'm going to have an answer machine in heaven. So if you call me and I don't want to talk to you, I don't have to. Amen. And boy, I listened. This guy said, "Brother Bob, I'm just going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself today, Brother Bob. I'm hurting so bad, I'm going to kill myself. Brother Bob, could you come see me? I am hurting so bad." Be sure and get a hold of the sheriff, Brother Bob. Tell him, let you come see me. I'm going to kill myself. How are some of you big shots doing about now? Well, preacher, he just preaches straight to me. You know, you put up with some of that stuff. You think you had a bad day? My cell phone, he said the same thing. My office phone, he said the same thing. He did that three times. And you think you had a bad day? Huh? Come on, folks. Now, listen to me. Don't you come to church with a bad spirit. Don't you come to church with a bad spirit. You think God's pleased with that? God, there's all kinds of scriptures for you not to come with an ugly, foul, bad spirit. How many of you folks like for a family member to come into your house? Huh? Let me hurry on. Number three, don't come late. Now, we start on time if there's not but two there. They interviewed 300 executives, and they said, what's the number one priority? And they said that you be on time. You see, if we wait 10 minutes on you, then we're going to be waiting 20 minutes on you. Come on, some of you folks help them. Hey, we all have the same amount of time. We have 168 hours in a week. Now, I know sometimes things happen on Sunday. The eggs are burnt and the toast is ruined and all that kind of stuff. You know, but just forget it. Come back and eat later. One morning, I lived in Arlington Heights area of Fort Worth where I got saved and moved back to Diamond Hill. Before I got saved, moved back to Diamond Hill where I got saved. Moved on an old dirt street. We had one of those old-fashioned water coolers. You know what I'm talking about? Where it had looked like hay on each side and water would run down through that thing, you know. And I got up early and we lived on a dirt street, and I come out of the bedroom. Now I'm a Sunday school teacher and all of that kind of stuff, but now, and I turned and looked at that water cooler, and it and wind and all fell out, boom, on Sunday morning. Now, I got folks that pray things like that happen to them. Come on. You say, what'd you do? It was still running. It fell out the window. It was strange. I just unplugged it and threw the plug out the window. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I got to be there for my class. I found a piece of board, put it in the window, and got back home and fixed it. I wasn't going to be late. Amen. Listen, don't come late. Listen to me. Get here a little early and so you can hear other people bellyache. I mean, you can be a blessing to other people. You know, I have people who have a PhD in worry. I've been there 37 years, and all of their worries, most of them, has never come to pass. So I just give them something to worry about. Amen. No, listen. Don't come late. Listen, come in, find somebody, shake their hand. Find somebody, talk to them a little bit. And number four, right quickly, listen to me. Don't quench the spirit. Now, folks, let me tell you something. This book is right. And there's no exemptions for you in this book. Paul said, quench not the Spirit. He said to the Hebrew people in Hebrews 10:29, he said, do not quench the Spirit. Now, I know things happen to you. I know the baby gets sick. I know things like that happen. I know sometimes, listen, I'd have got it before and put the key in the ignition and it would go, You know, all that kind of stuff. I know all about that. And folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what to bring to church. Number one, listen to me, bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible. Boy, bring your Bible to church. Now, your preacher's going to use the Bible, and that's okay, but you need to bring the Bible. You need to open the Bible. And by the way, it's not a time to catch up on your Bible reading. You should have already had your Bible reading, but you bring your Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God's quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword, and you need to come. You know what it's like tonight if you're sitting here tonight and I got a Bible and you don't have one? It's like you coming into my house and I have a wonderful plate of food that my good wife knows how to cook, and I'm sitting there and you've got a plate of food and I'm eating and you're just watching me eat. That'd be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? Huh? Come on, that'd be kind of stupid. So bring your Bible. Number two, bring some praise. Bring some praise. You look in your Bible, God loves praise. Now, I'm not talking about getting carried away with stupid stuff. You know, I'm not talking about that. But let me tell you something. Boy, the preacher says something good, do like you're doing tonight. Say, amen. 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 Yeah, that's right, preacher. Amen. I preached at Pensacola Christian College 2 times. Can you believe that? Here is a pig's ear going over there where the silk is fine. They give demerits if you say amen too much. So I just did this, okay? I want this group right here, when I drop my hand, to say, yes, sir. You ready? Say it.
Yes,
say it out loud.
Yes, sir.
All right? I want this group right here to say amen. Say it.
Amen.
I want this group right over here to say, mm-hmm. You ready? Now, when I drop my hand, you say what you're supposed to say, all of you.
Amen.
Woo! Come on, let's do it again.
Amen.
Hey, I had them kids saying that. I had them saying that. I loved it, man. I took my wife with me, my daughter, the first time, and they had little spots right on the platform where the quartet, whatever, was supposed to sing. And I said, look here, this place for me to plant while I'm preaching. Oh, it got something. They worship their piano. They literally worship that piano. And I'm preaching long. Now, this, my wife don't lie unless it helps her. And she'll tell you this is for catch it quick, folks. Hurry, we got to go eat. And so I'm preaching long, and I go over like this, and I'm fixing to make a statement, and I go, and the crowd goes, you know, I thought my pants were unzipped or something. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, really, I go over there, and they say, scared me. So afterwards, one of the kids comes to me and said, you don't touch that piano. I wish I'd have known that. I wish I'd have known that. I'd have sat on top of the thing. Amen. Yeah. Hey, it's supposed to be church. Praise God. Amen. Sure. Let me tell you something. I preached in a couple of black churches and I loved it. They outpreached me. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with you coming to church and saying that. Hey, matter of fact, you ladies, and make sure it's not holy. They don't have any boogers in it. You can wave your hanky. I don't think a lady ought to really say amen, but you could wave your hanky while the preacher's preaching. And you felt, you say, well, I'm just not given to that. Oh, yeah? Let me go sit with you while you're watching your favorite football team. Huh? And you say, oh, pull his teeth out. Knock him in the eyeball. Knock him out. Break his arm. I'm going to say, I thought you don't get excited. Now, folks, listen to me. Bring some praise to church with you. God loves it. I'm not talking about being crazy. God loves for you to praise him. He likes for you to praise him where the word's been preached. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. It's very important. Don't just sit in the pew like a dummy. Amen. Boy, you ever notice why the home team's got the advantage? I mean, because most of the people in the home team, man, they're there, they're pushing their team, and that's okay, I'm for that. And like I said this morning, you ever go to a new baby nursery, and you see people walk up to that, they don't walk up and say, new baby. They walk up and say, look at his chin. Look at his hair. Matter of fact, folks, let me show you something. A newborn baby doesn't have much hair, right? I don't have much, right? A newborn baby's got a double chin, right? Yeah. Aren't they a little wrinkled, right? Cute, cute.
Okay? Okay. Now, listen to me. I'm saying to you what to bring to church. Man, listen, what if a visitor walks in here tonight and you're just sitting there saying, you know. I mean, listen, man, they're sitting next to you. Just every now and then, I say, boy, isn't that good? Glory to God, isn't that good? Used to be an old preacher named Ed Ballou, Indian preacher. Had some Indian blood in him. Boy, I love to hear him preach. I mean, he could preach. And I love to go hear somebody preach, because most of the time he'd do a better job in the pew than the guy on preaching. And he wasn't being ugly. He'd say, that's right, son, preach the word of God. Amen, son, go ahead. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. And I mean, boy, you'd get the sucking wind, your throat gets sore and all that kind of stuff. You get after it. Let me tell you what kind of guy he was. He came down to our part of the country, and I went out to see him, and I said, Brother Blue, boy, I love your preaching. I mean, one of them old-fashioned preachers preach up a storm. He said, I went to one of those schools of higher learning. And he said, the professor was showing me up and down the hall. And he said, the sign on the door said, professor of hermeneutics and the professor of soteriology. And he said, I said to the professor, where's the professor on prayer? And he said, I know who he is. He's called Holy Ghost. I wish I could find it. He was preaching on prayer. And he said, my daddy got me by the finger when I was a little boy. And he said, son, walk with me. And he said, we walked out through some woods and walked out to another clearing in the woods. And he said, my dad said, son, here's where I pray every day. He said, I was just a little boy. What's your son seeing? He said, one time my daddy got sick, real bad sick. Now, I'm not telling you this works every time. He said, the old men in the community come around, they sitting outside waiting for my dad to die. He said, my mama said, son, I'm going to go right there in that patch of weeds and I'm going to start praying. And when your daddy sets up, you come get me. Amen. He said, my mom was praying. He said, in the minute she stood up and said, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. He said, my dad sat up and says, that's your mom praying. Man, good old-fashioned preacher. He came down below us and I said, Brother Ballou, how'd you do down there? He said, they didn't shout down there. He said, I went over to the piano player and put my foot up on the piano bench and said, are you right with God, lady? Now, that's one of those churches where they used to getting up and running around, you know, knocking everybody over, and then don't go soul winning, you know, one of them kind of thing. And she said, no, I'm not right with God. He said, where's your husband? She said, right out there. And he said, son, are you right with God? He said, no. And he said, get off this piano and you come back when you're right with God. That's why we had revival, folks. Now listen, let me tell you something. You come to church, you bring some praise with you. Boy, first time I told you this morning, I walked in that church of 18 people. Those people were singing. They were praising God. Now right quickly, listen to me. Listen to me. Number three, come hungry. I have a sermon called, if you're not filled, it's because you're not hungry. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Man, you come in here hungry. You come in here, you come, and what you do, you listen intently. You listen to your preacher. You listen to me. He's going to say something you need. One of my greatest discouragements is people come here preaching, and then a few weeks or a few days later, even years later, they say, now, preacher, what am I going to do? And I've already covered that preaching. John Rawlins, who's now in heaven, lived to be almost 100 years old. You know what he told his people? He said, you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you won't never have to come to my office. Amen. Now, folks, you come to church. If you're saved and you're a mature Christian and you're growing in the Lord, you come hungry. Hey, you know, there's folks in this room, you can talk about your favorite TV program and you know every detail about it. You can talk about what's on the back of a cereal box. And you can talk about little old Fungus lost 3 teeth and he lost 2 pounds. And now he wears bigger size shoes and all that. Why can't you do that about the Bible? I said to the preacher, why can't Baptist folks win a 14-year-old Mormon to the Lord? You can take a roll of nickels and mess up an independent Baptist at 14. Matter of fact, you can make new fads. You can't do a Mormon that way. We just had some come through Baton Rouge not long ago, and they interviewed him in a paper, and one of them said, praise the Lord. He said, this is wonderful. He said, I went up to one door, and a guy shot at me with a BB gun. You just look at Baptists ugly, and they say, I'm sorry, I won't talk to you anymore. Come on, folks. And one of them said, a guy was blowing leaves, and he blew leaves all over me. I was home one summer, happened to be home, and on Friday, and my wife was fixing biscuits and gravy, all of that heavenly food. I've changed a little bit. Behind my mansion in Texas, in heaven, Texas is close to heaven, but anyway. Behind my mansion is going to be a gumbo lake. I'm going to swim it every morning with my mouth open. Then I'm going to eat my way up a jambalaya mountain. Then I'm going to fall over in a Big Valley banana pudding. So I was home and the front door rang and I looked out and I knew who it was. Two young guys had on a nice tie and a white shirt, hot. You know, our humidity gets up to 100%, temperature 99. And so I went around to the front door and I said, how you doing, fellas? They said, okay. And I said, I tell you what, won't you come in? My wife fixed some biscuits and gravy, and then we'll talk about the Bible. And they said, what? I said, we'll talk about the Bible. And they said, sir, now we really don't have time. I said, I'd like to talk to you about the Bible. I said, I'm worried about you guys going to hell. Oh, they got mad. Well, I said, what do you mean going to hell? I said, yeah, the Bible says that. No, it doesn't. I said, show me where it don't. I said, because you guys don't believe Jesus is Savior. You don't believe this. And I said, they really could see you. Bart Brewer, I used to have a saved priest. And he said, you got to get people like that stirred up to make them answer and talk to you. And so we went under a shade tree. And I said, I want to ask you a question. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this. I said, what does it cost you to do this? And they said, we have to pay the Mormon church to let us do this. I said, what did it cost you to be schooled by the Mormons? Now, this was a long time ago, 15, 20 years ago. One of them said it cost us $450. I said, what if you don't have the money? They said, our parents pay. So they pay to do that. It don't cost you anything except what the Lord wants you to give. And folks, I could not shake them one bit. Now, you can mess up a Baptist easy. Come on, folks. You know why? Because you know what we're doing now? Listen to me. We're doing our religious thing now. We've come to Sunday school. We're good little old people. We've even stayed for church. And we come back on Sunday night. And that's what Catholics do sometimes. Listen to me. You come hungry. You come and you listen intently. Don't you let anything disturb you. You know, you've been watching TV sometime and one of your little old kids goes, shut up, I'm watching my favorite program. You come hungry. I mean, you come hungry. You come desiring. You come wanting something. You come and you say, man, I want something from God. Right quick, let me hurry. Number one, bring your Bible. Number two, bring some praise. Don't come with a bad spirit. Number three, come hungry. Number four, whatever. Bring a burden for the service. Amen. See that pretty lady sitting right there? Taught Sunday school, which I didn't do it for very long, became pastor. We'd stop, and we'd stop at the front door, and we'd hold hands, she and I, Dee Dee, Dory, and Bob, and we'd say, dear God, bless our preacher today. Lord, we don't know what kind of night he's had. He might have been up with somebody sick last night. Lord, would you bless him today? Would you help him? Oh, God, please bless him. And we'd say, Lord, speak to our hearts today. We're coming, and Lord, please speak to the people, and dear God, lost people, come, please help them. Come with a burden for the service. Folks, don't just come to get. Come to give. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. In the morning, and sometime tomorrow, you ought to pray for this preacher. You ought to pray for his wife. You ought to pray for his kids. You don't know what he's got to face tomorrow. Now, I don't know about here, but our electricity bill at Central Baptist Church is $1,000 a week. It's $1,000 a week. Would you like to raise that kind of money every week? Our building payment's $13,000 a month. Your little household budget's looking pretty good now, isn't it? Huh? You ought to pray for him every day. Well, I don't have time. Yeah, you do. And you ought to come with a burden. You ought to come and you ought to be praying for him and praying for the service. And number five, I think you ought to bring your family. Talk to them about coming. Let me hurry. Number six, bring somebody with you. Bring somebody like you folks here tonight and this morning, and especially a sinner. Boy, if you can get a sinner, you get them saved, bring them. Hey, offer to go by and get them. Amen. Amen. Offer to go by and get them. Now, right quickly, last of all, bring an offering. Amen. Bring an offering. Let me tell you something, folks. See this book right here? There's 628 verses that relate to prayer. Okay? There's 500 verses that relate to faith. There's over 2,000 that relate to giving. Let me see how smart you are. What's the first thing that Noah did when he came off the ark? He didn't say, boys, let's build a house. He put up an altar. Amen. Now, every time you read in the Bible, now this is not a worship service, it's a preaching service, but every time they got together to do something for God, they had an offering. Amen. You bring an offering. You ought to be obedient to what the Bible says about giving. Now, everybody can't give the same, and the Bible is very plain about that, that there to be an equality, some can give more than others. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. Now, listen to me close. This ain't popular TV preaching. You better not rob God. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you rob God. You don't ought to rob anybody, but don't you rob God. You mean, after like I preached this morning, and God's wonderful, marvelous grace saved you from all your sins, took them all away. You don't have to go to hell now. You can't prove to me in the Bible where somebody says, well, I just give till it hurts. You can't give till it hurts. I tell you what you do. In tomorrow evening, fellas, you fellas come home working, go into your wife and say, I just work till it hurts for you. She's going to knock you out. She ought to. She ought to tie you up in the bed sheet and beat you with a baseball bat. Lord God, here she is. She cooks your food. She washes your clothes. Sometimes she cleans house. Anyway, you know, I tell you what, tomorrow night, fella comes in, lady, you look at him and say, well, I just keep this place clean, and I do it till it hurts. What kind of person is that? Huh? Let me tell you something, my friend. If you really love Jesus like you do, it doesn't hurt to give him. You give him, you know, he doesn't ask for much. He doesn't ask for much. What if he asked for the 90? He said, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. I'm going to tell you something. And then you ought to give an offering. You ought to give an offering. Wherever your preacher talks about giving an offering, if it's to missions, you ought to give to missions. And then we have folks give to our building fund. They have to. We couldn't make it. I could have, every year during our stewardship time, I have people give testimonies about their giving. And you ought to hear some of our moms get up at single moms that don't have a husband and have to take their little kids. And they talk about living close, but they always give God his part and how God takes care of them. How God, you cannot outgive God. How would you like to live 90 miles off the coast of Florida and Cuba? I'll help you get there. You don't know, they don't know what a 2013 car looks like. Come on, folks. Now, you come to church, you ought to bring some money to give. I'm talking about money. You say, I don't think you ought to talk about money. Tell your banker that. Next time you go to that doctor, tells you you got the hoplitis or the lipitis, and he tells you that's $250 for 30 minutes. Just say, I don't think doctors ought to talk about money. Come on, folks. I can tell you story after story about mine and her giving. And other people about their giving. I can tell you about teenagers. I watched one of our teenage boys the other night put a $100 bill in an offering. He'd worked, he put that in there. Now, listen to me. You ought to come to church right. Come on. You ought to come to church right. Boy, listen to me, folks. Do you know there's over 3,000 languages, and I've got to hurry, that don't have the name Jesus in their language? They've never heard the name Jesus. And in those language groups, like we have what we call English. I don't speak perfect English. I'm a southerner. And there's different forms of language in those languages. And so there's more than 3,000. They've never seen one copy of this book. They don't know what it's like to say, dear Lord, my baby's sick. Lord, would you help my baby? Would you do it? They don't know what it's like to say, my wife, I need her. They don't know what it's like to say, dear Lord. They don't know. Listen to me. We have missionaries in China, and those Chinese people don't even have the name God in their language. And it's going to hurt you to give God an offering. It's going to hurt you to give God some money. What in God's name is wrong with us? I got to hurry. My oldest granddaughter was born And when she was born, my wife can tell you something about this. And through the birth canal, she got some kind of disease. And I don't mean to stir up any emotions here. And they wouldn't let her go home. My daughter worked for the same hospital, and they let her stay. But they put that baby in intensive care. And they let my daughter see her every now and then. And I'd go up every day and see her, and we'd pray, and we'd talk about the Lord. And she would weep. She's a mama. And so I went over to the intensive care, and they had an IV in Lena's head, and she was dark, dark. And I asked to speak to the head nurse, and I said, I'm her grandfather. And I said, tell me. She said, preacher, this baby, it's amazing that she's alive. So I went over to a stairwell, and I got on my knees. And I said, dear Lord, I ain't much. I'm glad you saved me. And I said, you know, my son-in-law loves bus kids. Matter of fact, we've got a guy on the mission field now that he wants the Lord, just a little kid. He was a Catholic. Couldn't never win his folks. He never missed a service. And I said, I gave you that little girl after she was about 5 or 6 years old. And I said, Lord, they love you. They give. They pray. They work. I said, dear God, it's nothing for you to touch that baby. Now, what if I'd have went over and said, Lord, my son-in-law's a drunk. My daughter ain't no good. Now, let me tell you something, folks. It's not wrong to remind God about things. It's not wrong. You hear the Bible say, the God of Abraham, a lot of faith, God of Isaac, on and on. You ought to see that girl today. You ought to see her today. Now, that's the God we've got. And it doesn't bother me to give him almost 50%. How about you? How about you? Now, you've got a wonderful God, and one day you're going to need him more than you need money. I can tell you story after story of rich people I've witnessed to, and then things, tragedies happen to them, and all the money they had couldn't buy back what they just lost. You ought to always come to church with somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.